Hi, I'm Kristen Maurer, and welcome to TPC Tax Insights, a podcast for the tax and accounting inquiring mind. We are starting this podcast as a way to reach out to our employees, customers, tax and accounting professionals during the era of COVID and working from home. We plan to share industry information and introduce smart, interesting people whose voices we feel need to be heard. Our goal is to try to make this podcast light, fun, and worth listening to in under 30 minutes. So if you have a free half hour, please tune in and stay connected, and we'll talk taxes for you. I am honored to continue our True Partners podcast and share the mic with Bernadette McConey, federal income tax partner in our New York, Long Island office. Bernadette is going to share her subject matter expertise of federal income tax, TCJA, and the anticipated corporate impact after all the votes are counted in this historic 2020 election. Bernadette, welcome. How are you?
Kristen, I'm great. Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today to discuss another potential major change in our country's corporate federal income tax system. I hope this will be a helpful discussion for our corporate clients and companies wondering what will happen in 2020 after the dust settles in this election. Will President-elect Biden reverse much of the TCJA, as he mentioned in his tax policy agenda during the campaign? Will Republicans or Democrats control the Senate? These questions are just a few that will determine the verdict for ultimate corporate tax policy impact.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is such an exciting topic to tackle. Thank you, Bernadette, for agreeing to take it on with me. I have so many questions. But first, tell me about yourself so the audience has a flavor for where your expertise comes from.
Absolutely. I am currently a managing director in the Long Island office of True Partners Consulting. I have been with the firm for over a decade now, and my area of expertise is corporate income tax compliance with a focus on ASC 740, accounting for income taxes for both private and public companies.
Awesome. It's such a great niche.
It is.
Yeah. I feel so lucky. We have a good one. Especially during this
very
pandemic.
Robust practice.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk taxes. So this election has been epic, right? One of the most contested in modern times. And I was reading earlier, a projected 161 million Americans voted, more than in over 100 years. So I'm hearing so many people in our industry talk about it, obviously. And the big thing for people, you know, like us in our industry is that imminent tax impact. Will President-elect Biden's presidency change things for all of us? So what are your thoughts on the subject?
Yes. So it feels like Groundhog Day to me because we've just gone through a major overhaul in our tax industry. And tax professionals are still working through the TCJA, which, just to take a step back, TCJA, which we've referred to a couple of times, is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And these changes and regulations have recently been finalized. Companies are still working through the corporate income tax benefits and the CARES Act. Now we're looking at another potential major overhaul. Things are certainly not boring.
No, they're really not.
No, it keeps us on our toes. The proposed corporate tax changes have sparked the interest of C-suite executives, tax directors, and investors alike. There is a potential significant impact on corporate cash tax liability and earnings per share. And if the speed with which the Trump administration enacted the TCJA is any indication for the Biden administration, swift action may require companies to implement these corporate income tax changes quickly. But before we go any further, let's summarize Biden's corporate income tax proposals. But quick commentary on the proposed changes. The descriptions of the proposed changes released by Biden's team have been brief and not very specific. So while we can draw conclusions, there is a lot of speculation on the specifics.
Yeah, tons of speculation. Yeah. So I'm really anxious to hear what you're thinking.
Yes. So the first and most wide-ranging change that will impact all U.S. corporations is an increase in the corporate income tax rate from 21% to 28%. That's a significant increase and gets U.S. corporations halfway back to the top 35% corporate income tax rate prior to the TCJA. So that's a significant change. The second proposed change would be is imposing a 15% minimum tax on corporations with book income greater than $100 million and pay zero U.S. corporate income tax in a given year. The definition of book income has not been clarified, so it is unclear if this refers to U.S.-only book income or worldwide book income, which could really change the answer significantly if a corporation earns a lot of income in the U.S., not so much outside of the U.S. or vice versa. The answer could be very different, but right now it's really unclear how that calculation is going to fall out. This minimum tax is akin to the alternative minimum tax corporations pay pre-TCJA, but it is unclear if it is a prepayment of tax similar to the previous AMT, which could be utilized to offset future tax liability. Yes. Yeah. So just speculating on this, but it seems as if this tax is aimed at corporations that are able to reduce their cash tax liability with deductions for items such as stock-based compensation and enhanced depreciation deductions.
Okay.
So a third area that of a proposed change relates to the tax on global intangible low-taxed income, commonly referred to as GILTI.
Yeah, guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged. So tax on guilty is currently taxed at 10.5%. And the proposed Biden plan would be to tax this income at 21%. Although it has not been explicitly stated, it would seem that the current Section 250 deduction or 50% exclusion on guilty would be eliminated, which, I mean, this can be a potentially huge cost companies.
This is the biggest of the three.
It is, absolutely. Absolutely. For U.S. multinationals, this is a huge tax cost. In addition to the increase in rate, the Biden plan would seek to eliminate the qualified business activity income deduction, referred to as the QBI deduction, which allows for an annual deduction from GILTI of 10% of tangible fixed assets. So for companies with significant operations outside the U.S., this could result in an increased additional liability on its GILTI tax. And then also with GILTI, the proposal is to tax GILTI at 21% per country. Under the current regulations, tested income and tested losses from different countries are pooled together to calculate total GILTI tested income. The proposal would not allow the pooling of income. It would tax each country's GILTI at a straight 21%.
Wow. That's so significant.
It really is very, very significant. And then the last area that we wanted to talk about is an offshore tax penalty, which would be a 10% surcharge on companies that manufacture goods and perform services outside the U.S. and then sell those goods or provide services back to the U.S. Again, this is another proposal that's unclear on what basis the 10% would be calculated, whether it's on taxable income, based on sale of goods or services provided. But for companies who manufacture outside of the U.S. or provide services outside of the U.S., it could be a substantial additional tax cost.
Yeah. That's the one where it's incentivizing U.S. corporations to do business in the U.S., correct?
That's right. So gotcha. With all these proposals, we're waiting for further clarification on the specifics for each calculation in the future. So while we can draw some conclusions, we really don't know what the final answer could possibly be.
Right. Yeah. So what's so interesting is based on where we are with the election, right, that we don't have, it's not official, right? The Electoral College hasn't been counted. I guess that'll happen mid-December. And where the economy currently stands, right, there's so much... Yep. Bigger fish to fry, sort of, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think the changes are with these speculated provisions? Where do you think it'll fall in the next 12 to 18 months?
So I think that's an interesting question. And while a lot has been said about the Biden tax changes, you know, we're more than 2 weeks past the November election, and there still are a number of seats in the House and Senate that are yet to be called. In the House, there are about 17 seats that have not been decided, and Democrats are projected to lose between 2 and 10 seats in the House based on what they currently have. So even if the Democrats have the majority, if it is a smaller margin than the previous administration, the Democrats' influence will be diluted and make it more difficult to pass a Democratic agenda. In the Senate, there are two seats from Georgia that are currently open and will be subject to a runoff on January 5th, 2021. If the Democrats win both these seats, there will be a 50-50 split of Democrats and Republicans in the Senate. If all members vote their party line and there is a tie, Vice President Kamala Harris will be the tiebreaker.
Wow. Sounds like gridlock to me. That's right. What I keep hearing and reading is that tiebreaker will be the key, I guess.
That's right. That's right. So if the two seats in Georgia are won by Democrats, the Democrats will control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And historically, when this has occurred, the controlling party is able to push tax changes through. However, that being said, it would seem the Biden administration has other higher priorities, such as controlling the spread of COVID and providing economic relief to those hard hit by the pandemic. It would seem tax increases would not be the immediate focus and may not be supported until the pandemic is behind the country.
Yeah, so absolutely.
While the Biden administration has, you know, focused on the tax changes, there are a lot of other socioeconomic concerns within the country that would seem to be more pressing than increasing tax at this point in time.
So while in the short term, there may not be any imminent changes, this doesn't sound like great news for our corporate clients. So how can you discuss with companies what they should be planning to do for anticipation of anything that might come up?
Yes. Yeah. So you're right, Kristen. This is not great news for our corporate clients, but maybe we have a little runway to plan ahead for these changes, given that, you know, there's probably competing priorities that need to be addressed before tax law changes. But it sounds as if within the next 4 years, there will be some changes that will occur, but it does give companies a little bit of time to plan. We also know that platforms a president campaigns on may not translate to law. So while these changes may not be great news, companies can put themselves in a position by starting to model out the impacts and determining the potential impacts on cash tax and earnings per share. For public companies, the period in which the tax rate change is enacted is when any adjustments to the financial statements is recorded. For example, when the TCJA reduced the tax rate to 21% as of December 22, 2017, companies revalued their U.S. federal deferred tax assets and liabilities to 21% in the period ended December 31, 2017. The tax impact is recorded as a discrete item in the quarterly effective tax rate. So that point is really important for public companies in determining what period, if there's a tax rate change, this needs to be recorded in and reported to their shareholders.
Yeah, I remember that. So there was plenty of notice,
yes,
right, for taxpayers to plan.
That's right. That's right. So in addition, companies can look at their forecasted effective tax rates to determine the impact on its effective tax rate. For example, U.S. multinational corporations, the tax rate may have significant impact on its foreign rate differential. Where the foreign rate differential may currently be a small component of the overall effective tax rate, since the U.S. rate was much closer to some of its international counterparts, such as the U.K. with its 19% rate, the 28% rate will result in a much wider spread and greater benefit to earnings for foreign jurisdictions with a lower corporate income tax rate. Wow. The forecasted effective tax rate will be impacted by the increase in GILTI tax if a company was able to take full advantage of the Section 250 deduction, such that its GILTI income was taxed at 10.5%. If there are not enough foreign tax credits to offset the additional liability, there will be an increase in the effective tax rate. So all these proposed changes will result in an increase in effective tax rate, which will have a negative impact on companies' earnings per share, which is not great news.
No.
And in addition, these changes will also result in higher cash tax liability, an impact most companies would like to avoid. And in this day and age, you know, companies are really trying to retain their cash and pay less in corporate income tax. But with a 7% increase in rate, it probably is not, it's going to be more difficult to hang on to that cash.
Yeah. So would you say, you know, this is a kind of a cash grab, right?
They're absolutely.
Yeah. It seems to me that what's happening is, you know, they're trying to generate revenue, right?
Yes.
Through increased tax rates for corporate taxpayers. So what's your sense on that?
Yeah, so I agree. I think it's definitely a revenue generator. I don't think it's because the U.S. government wants the additional cash. I think there is reasons behind it. Main reason being to boost U.S. manufacturing and promote U.S. economic development. So some of the areas that the funds will be proposed to be used for is to fund research and development, to provide tax credits to promote revitalizing and renovating U.S. facilities that companies may have abandoned and gone outside of the U.S. where it might be less expensive for them to operate, initiatives to promote demand for U.S. products, and then expand and extend clean energy tax credits. So all of the above is projected to promote U.S. economic development and bring jobs back to the U.S.
So is there any planning that companies can implement by the end of the year, 2020, to potentially save cash and reduce their ETR?
Yes, definitely. Not related to the Biden for projected tax changes, but an act that currently exists and the CARES Act, which was enacted on March 27th of 2020, allows corporations the ability to carry back losses generated in tax years ended in 2018 and 2020 for a 5-year period. The TCJA had repealed the ability to carry back federal NOLs, so this provision had been unavailable. But the CARES Act allows for a carryback of federal NOLs and to tax years when the tax rate was 35%. So not only can corporations get the benefit of a cash refund, there is also a financial statement benefit of 14%.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yes. Yeah, it's a fantastic option for companies to improve their cash flow and also improve their effective tax rate. To enhance the benefit, companies have been looking at ways to accelerate deductions and defer income to increase their NOL for 2020 to take advantage of the 35% tax rate benefit. Even if the accelerated deductions are timing items that will become taxable in a future period, the tax rate will still be lower at 28%. So there will be an overall benefit to this, even if the tax rate does increase to 28%. The IRS is allowing the carryback claim to be filed on Form 1139 if filed within 1 year of filing the tax return that generated the NOL. If it's outside that 1 year period, it will have to be on an amended return. But while the IRS has 60 days to process the 1139 claim, we are seeing a significant delay on refund processing due to the shutdown and IRS backlog. But that being said, the NOL carryback is a significant cash and ETR benefit that companies should take advantage of while it's currently available.
Absolutely. Yeah, that should be top priority for everybody right now.
Definitely.
Especially calendar year-end companies, right? Going into
absolutely.
The end of the year.
Yes.
Yeah. So last thing on the tax side, I'd really like to address is the TCJA sunset provisions. Can you explain a little bit more about what those are?
Sure. Yes. So there was a number of corporate provisions in TCJA that are expected to expire in the short term. The TCJA added a provision which limits the amount of interest expense a company can deduct, commonly referred to as a Section 163J limitation. The interest expense deduction is limited to an amount less than 50% of, quote, adjusted taxable income. So adjusted taxable income includes the add back for depreciation and amortization, which provides a higher base on which the limitation is calculated. And it's effectively an EBITDA calculation. So it won't be equal to taxable income on page one of your federal return, but it will include some adjustments to get back to an EBITDA amount to calculate the limitation. For tax years beginning after January 1st, 2022, the depreciation and amortization adjustment is no longer allowed, which is consistent with EBIT. So the calculation is going back to an EBIT calculation.
And EBIT being the effective
earnings before interest and tax.
Okay. Great. Thanks for clarifying.
Sure. This may significantly hamper companies that are highly leveraged and have had significant investments in fixed assets and or have been acquisitive and have amortizable intangibles. Although the disallowed deduction is indefinitely carried forward to be utilized in a later year, there may be an immediate cash impact on cash tax liability due to the disallowed deduction. So not great news for highly leveraged companies, that have been very acquisitive or have significant investments in fixed assets. Mm. Another sunset provision as part of the TCJA is the expensing of R&D expenses. Currently, companies can deduct R&D expenses in the tax year they are incurred. However, starting in 2022, companies are required to amortize these costs over a five-year period, as required by the TCJA. This new treatment of R&D expense will likely raise the cost of investment and potentially discourage R&D, which isn't really a great answer.
No. Companies rely on the R&D.
They do. They certainly do. Yeah. Yes. It will increase the complexity of the taxable income calculation by requiring companies to track another set of deductions over the years. So the two sunset provisions, not great answers. You never know as part of the Biden plan. Maybe they will be changed. Maybe they'll stay as they are. But we'll have to wait and see on those.
Yeah. But just to summarize, it just sounds to me like tax policy changes are not going to happen immediately. You know, no. President-elect Biden can't make these decisions by himself.
He cannot.
Right? So, at this point, we're just going to have to kind of wait and see, right? And
that's right.
Prepare mm-hmm. our clients the best we can with a lot of speculation mm-hmm. And opinion, right?
Yes.
And just try to prepare everybody for the best case scenario, right?
That's right. Exactly. Yes. And just the more information that, we can provide and, companies can see out there through, various articles and just keeping on top of any potential changes will certainly help companies to be prepared, if and when it does occur.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're getting here on a time to keep it under 30 minutes, like we promise. So Bernadette, let's go into my favorite part of the podcast, our speed or lightning round.
Okay.
Okay. So tell me the first thing that pops into your head. Tell us something not on your resume.
I have two children, and my oldest is now currently applying for colleges. So it's kind of a crazy time right now, with COVID situation. And so we're just trying to do the best we can, figuring out, where to go to school next year.
Yeah, no, good luck with that.
Yes.
Really hoping for good news in 2021 for all of our kids and being able to go to school. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Your favorite fast food meal that you can whip up in 15 minutes.
I like to make chicken cutlets with rice-a-roni on the side.
Yummy. Like the crispy chicken?
Yes.
Love it. So delicious. Yes. Okay. Your last Netflix or TV show you binge watched?
Schitt's Creek.
Oh, that's a good
great
one.
Great show.
Father-son creators. Yeah.
That's right.
Really interesting. Okay. So
they keep it in the family.
I love it. Your favorite sport or athlete?
So I don't play, but I really love watching golf on TV.
Yes, the Masters was great.
It was. Yeah. So glad that they could have it this year.
Yes, huge. Okay, last one, your shameless plug.
So we've spent about a half an hour discussing tax rate changes. So my shameless plug is that True Partners has significant experience in addressing tax law changes and very recent experience with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and CARES Act and advising clients on what the best scenario is, how to implement these changes in their tax returns and their financial statements. So just want to put it out there that True Partners is very well equipped to assist companies. If we have another rate change or tax law changes in the next couple of years, we are more than capable of assisting in this area. So please reach out to anyone on the team that could, if you need any assistance.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bernadette. Oh my gosh, this was so fun.
Yes. Thank you, Kristen. This was a great time.
Yes. Okay. Until next time. Thank you, everybody.